Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 10 to 14. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed, on her sides shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who feeds us with his nourishing word, dear fellow redeemed, the blessing of family sometimes is taken for granted by us until something bad happens to us. We get injured and family gathers around us. We suffer a loss and our family prays for us. Rejected and despairing, and our family surrounds us with love and compassion, support and encouragement. How lonely we would be if God had not created families. That same thought can extend to our spiritual family, the family of God. Not only would we be lonely, but we'd be eternally lost if we were not a part of the family of God, the Holy Christian Church. As the prophet Isaiah nears the end of his book, the Lord leads him to describe the New Testament era and some events. In chapter 63 and 64, he prays for God's grace to be showered upon the New Testament church and for their deliverance. And then in chapter 65 and 66, we see the results of that prayer. The church is delivered and is separated from the ungodly. In the verses just prior to our text, verses 7 through 9, the Lord describes the church of believers as being a mother who's going to give birth to children. But when she gives birth to the children, there's no pain. That's not natural, as you mothers know who have given birth to children. But the Lord is describing the birth of the New Testament Christian church from the church of the Old Testament. And that occurred on Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit miraculously caused 3,000 people to come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through the preaching of Peter and the disciples on that glorious Pentecost day. Well, our text, verses 10 to 14, continues that thought of being children of God by being children in his church. And so our theme this morning, our first point is this: what a blessing to be a child in God's family. And the first point is, rejoice in God's blessings. Whenever a baby is born, there is joy and rejoicing. Phone calls are made, text messages sent. Soon there'll be pictures sent on Facebook or email. Everybody rejoices. The same with the birth of the New Testament church. We read in verse 10, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her. Although there has been very good reason for Israel to mourn for Jerusalem, because most of Israel have rejected the Lord Jehovah, Isaiah is saying in the future they'll be rejoicing in Jerusalem because it'll be a new Jerusalem, a reborn Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of the Messiah. Jerusalem is also referred to as Zion, or Mount Zion. It's where the Lord placed his temple, where his presence was. But Jerusalem is also synonymous for the church, the believers in Christ. Isaiah 40 says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem." Jerusalem is God's people. Another description of God's people is daughter of Jerusalem or daughter of Zion. We read in Isaiah 62, "Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken." In the New Testament, God has the Apostle Paul call believers Jerusalem in his letter to the Galatians, and John calls believers Jerusalem in his letter to the or his letter of book of Revelation. So you and I, when we're brought to faith, we are sons and daughters of Zion, sons and daughters of Jerusalem. He's brought us together to be his people, the new Jerusalem, the city of Zion, the people of God, his family. And again, our theme, what a blessing to be a child in God's family. Let us rejoice. And the reasons that we can rejoice are given in verse 12. "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her," my church, Jerusalem, "like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream." The picture here is so poetically beautiful. The Lord is saying that he will give peace to his church like a mighty river flowing by. And it'll be so much, it'll overflow its banks. So much peace and joy given to the church. Well watered. And we know that peace is not the peace between nations, the peace between people, earthly peace, but the peace between us and our Heavenly Father. Jesus spoke of that in John 14. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Why is it such a blessing? Because each of us didn't deserve any of that peace. Because of our sins, we deserve God's wrath, God's anger, God's condemnation because of our sins. But Jesus went to the cross, paid for the guilt and punishment of your sins and mine, and established a peace, a rest between us and our Heavenly Father. Imagine that. God, the Creator, the perfect, holy Creator, is now at peace with us sinful human beings. Because when God looks at you as his children, he doesn't see us with all of our dirt and mud and smudges. He sees us washed clean in the righteousness of his Son, Jesus. Isaiah says also the glory of the Gentiles is given. Well, in chapter 60, he tells us what that means. The glory of the Gentiles really means the wealth of the Gentiles, the wealth of the nations. What he's saying is he's going to bring into this New Testament church tremendous wealth. Not just offerings, but talents, abilities, people working for the Lord. So they were all working together from different nationalities, different people, different personalities, working together for one purpose, and that is to proclaim the message of the gospel. And that glory of the Gentiles overflows in his church. And all I need to do is look at our congregation and see the overabundance of abilities and talents and offerings and personalities that the Lord has provided for our little congregation here in Middleton. We'll come back to that thought of rejoicing as a child of God a little bit later in our sermon. That's a good point, too. Drink spiritual milk. We read in verse 11, "that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Remember, the Lord is picturing the church as a mother. So literally, this passage reads, so that you may suck to your fill at the breasts of her comfort. Another beautiful picture the Lord's drawing for us here. A little baby nursing a mother's breast, receiving not only the nourishment of breast milk, but also the comfort that the baby has being held close to his mother's heart. Peter uses the same picture when he writes in his first epistle, as newborn babes or babies desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. When you and I were first born, we needed milk in order to live and grow. For most of us, our mother's breast milk. To grow spiritually, we also need the milk of the word. For without the milk of the word, we would not live. The Lord has established the church to be able to proclaim that milk of the word for us to be able to drink and drink deeply to satisfy our soul's need. But unfortunately, there are some Christians within God's family who feel like they don't need the milk of the word. They think to themselves, I know all that stuff. Or they say, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really meet my needs. And that doesn't taste really good. Or that's kind of boring food. Or I'll find my own food that will feed my soul. Or I'm an adult now. I've grown up. I don't need that baby spiritual milk. Well, that'd be as foolish as a little baby thinking to himself, I don't need my mom's milk anymore. I'm going to go eat dirt. And I'm going to get nourishment by sucking on my thumb. How long would that child live? Well, so also, without drinking consistently of the spiritual milk of God's word, our faith will not live very long. We need that word to nourish our soul. Like newborn babies, we need the basic sustenance of both law and gospel. Through it, the Holy Spirit not only creates our faith, but keeps our faith alive, nourished, growing, not just in word, but also very important in actions. But not only does the Lord just feed us through the milk of the word, he also comforts and cares for us as a loving mother. And that's the third point. Receive a mother's comfort and care. We read verse 12. Then you shall feed, on her sides shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees, as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Some more wonderful pictures the Lord is drawing for us here. I'm sure you've seen it many times. Child's walking and child goes, and so the mother picks up the child and carries her on her hip lovingly. Or the mother has a child bouncing on her lap and her knees, and the child is rejoicing because the mother is spending time with her, loving him or her. Or when the child falls and gets an owie, the mother hugs the child to her breast and says, it'll be okay. And the mother comforts her child. That's what the Lord says happens when we read and hear the word of God. The comforting word of God gives us that same comfort of a mother's love. And it doesn't matter how old you are, because when you read that passage, it says, as one whom the mother comforts. That little word one, it's not child. The word one in the Hebrew is the word ish. That's the word that was given to Adam as a man. No matter how old you are, you're still loved by our Savior. We're never too old to have that mother's love, to gather us together, to give us that love. The Lord, through Isaiah, used the same picture in chapter 49. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. So, are you comfortless? Are you going through trials, feelings of despair? Are you lonely? Are you depressed? Are you experiencing sickness or pain? Maybe upcoming surgery? Are you worried and fearful for the future? Are you feeling empty? Unloved? Feeling betrayed? Maybe brokenhearted? Let these words of Isaiah sink deeply into your hearts, into your souls, into your minds. Rarely does a mother ever forget or not love her child whom she's nursed, even when he grows older. But the Lord says, that may happen, but never, never will I forget you or me. Never, ever will I stop loving you or me or any of my children, the Lord says. Wow, what a blessing to be a child in God's family. We come back to that point, our first point, which was rejoice in God's blessings. Look at the last verse of our text, verse 14. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants and his indignation to his enemies. When we see this happening in our lives, the word of God causing our faith to grow and be strengthened and being comforted, we're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad as day by day the Spirit comforts us in all of our trials, comforts us in all of our joys, comforts us every day of our lives, and we also will grow. I'm sure you've heard the saying, when a child grows fast, they say, he's growing like a weed. Well, that's what the Lord's saying here. Your bones shall flourish like grass. When we receive the nourishment of God's word, day by day by day, our faith will grow as fast as grass grows. And it's growing pretty fast now with all the rain we've got and all the sunshine. So the more you eat and drink the word of God, the faster your faith grows. That's what we need, the regular nourishment from this milk of God's word. In that verse, the Lord says, the hand of the Lord is made known to us. What that means is his actions are being seen by all of us. We've seen his actions in the Old Testament of creation, redemption of the Israelites, crossing the Red Sea, the Jordan River. But the greatest action of the Lord, of course, seen by all people, changed events of history when he sent his son into this world to take our place. When he chose his son, God the Son, to come into this world and become a human being like you and me, born of the Virgin Mary. And then take our place and keep the law of God perfectly in thought, word, and deed. And then take our place and have all of our sins and God's wrath and condemnation and hatred laid upon him to pay for our guilt and punishment. And then rise from the dead to assure us of everlasting life. And then ascend into heaven and tell us all that someday I'll come back and I'll take you, my brothers and sisters, to be with me, to live forever as God's family, as God's sons and daughters, forever in heaven. Today we see God's hand still working. 2,000 years ago, through miracles and the word of God, the church was born in Jerusalem. Today we see it's still spreading, growing, like a weed, like grass, all over the world. But the last line, the last few words, are a warning to God's enemies. God's wrath will also be shown and seen by the unbelievers. And that specifically talks about Judgment Day, but also throughout the world, throughout time, New Testament era, God deposed unbelieving kings, anti-Christian governments and people that tried to destroy the church were destroyed. False teachings and false teachers that Satan raised up to try and destroy the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, have failed. The Holy Christian Church, Jerusalem, the believers, still flourishes, still grows, will continue to grow until Christ comes again. And then the church militant, the church at war, the church at battle, will become the church triumphant, the church in victory, the church at rest. You've heard the term Jerusalem, the golden. Get a couple more of our hymns later on. Well, there's a lot of flaws in Jerusalem, the church, because it's made up of sinners like me and like you. Probably should be called Jerusalem the Tarnished, because of our fears, our worries, our emotions, our feelings, our sins have tainted and tarnished this holy Christian church. And yet, because of Jesus Christ having come and taken our sins and cast them in the depths of the sea, so God remembers them no more, he sees you and me, his sons and daughters, as if we're righteous and holy and perfect and golden. And someday we will be Jerusalem, the golden, perfect in every way, in our heavenly home. What a blessing to be a child in God's family, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.